Okay, the official, unofficial title this year is The Essence and Power of Prayer. Despite the advertising that they had downstairs, but that is, I guess, the correct title for this year, The Essence and the Power of Prayer. What I'd like to do is just to share with you a few thoughts. Number one, about the basic lumdus of tefillah, some famous thoughts, some less than famous thoughts, and also a little bit about the hashkafa of tefillah as seen from the lumdus as well. So to begin, famous Rambam, in the beginning of the tefillah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, the Rambam writes, mitzvah saseh l'spala b'chol yom, that is a mitzvah saseh to daven each and every day, based on the pasuk v'avartam es Hashem elokeichem. The Rambam says, Chazal teach us that avoda refers to tefillah. Ula avda b'chol levavchem. Chachamim tell us, ezu hi avoda shebelev. What's considered avoda shebelev? That refers to tefillah. So Mamela says, the Rambam, v'avartam es Hashem elokeichem, also is a reference to tefillah. That is the source, according to the Rambam, for the mitzvah saseh to daven each and every day. Rambam then adds, there is no requirement min haTorah for how many times you have to daven. There is no requirement min haTorah as to what nusach, what language one should use, or how one should word his davening. And there is no set time or framework for when one must daven min haTorah. Rambam says very simply, it's a mitzvah saseh l'spala b'chol yom, a mitzvah saseh d'oraisa to daven each and every day. Okay, that is the famous Shitas HaRambam. The Ramban, and again, famous Machlokes, Ramban in his Hasagas to Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvah Hei disagrees. The Ramban says a number of important points. Number one, the Ramban says, Inyan HaTfilah Eino Chova Klal. Tfilah is not a Chiyuv whatsoever. Rather, how do we view Tfilah, says the Ramban? It's Mimidos Chesed HaBorei Yisbarach Aleinu. It is to be understood as a tremendous kindness that a Kadosh Baruch Hu extends to us. It is a tremendous opportunity to take advantage of. Sheshomea ve'one b'chol kor'enu elav. That a Kadosh Baruch Hu listens and answers whenever we call to him. That is when a Kadosh Baruch Hu is just as eager, just as willing to hear and to listen and to answer to what we have to say. And that is why the Ramban says tefillah is a chesed. It should be viewed as a tremendous opportunity that we have to take advantage of to access HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly, firsthand, in person. The Ramban is trying to stress to us here that tefillah is not just an obligation, but it's an opportunity. And it's something to take advantage of, something to appreciate. Rav Pinkas in his Sefer describes how, you know, one can appreciate this with the following mashal, and I will take his basic idea but apply it to something that I experienced personally. My father died from cancer just a little over 2 years ago. And when he was diagnosed, already a little over 5 years ago, so from the very, very beginning, the doctors told my parents, told us, that he had stage 4 colon cancer, and it had already spread beyond the colon. And they personally did not think there was anything that they could do. One of the doctors actually went so far as to advise my father, forget the chemo, just live whatever you know months you have left. And why subject yourself to the torture of chemotherapy? As they viewed it as hopeless, and they conveyed that very clearly. And my parents, of course, you know, they went for a second opinion, spoke to other professionals, asked for referrals, and everyone they spoke to in the field told them there is one doctor who is recognized as the world's expert on colon cancer. If anybody can help you or can tell you what needs to be done, this is the one. The only problem was my mother then discovered that this one doctor who works out of New York City was out of the country, out of the continent, for a year. He was overseas consulting on some project, and he comes back for like 2 weeks at a time, only infrequently over the course of that year, and during which time, you can imagine, this is like the world's top expert in colon cancer, he's booked solid. So my mother called me. She was already in a frantic, you know, panic and in despair. What are you supposed to do? There's one guy who everyone says you have to go see. One guy who can tell us what to do, how to treat it, what approach to take. How am I going to get in touch with him? This guy is a world's expert. Everyone's banging at his door. He's not even in the continent for the year. Comes back for 2 weeks and there's no way to get through to him. And, you know, the hopelessness was so, you know, was so apparent. And then in the course of the conversation, she says to me, this guy's name is Dr. Kelson. All of a sudden, I said, oh my gosh, I know who that is. He's a firm guy from Teaneck. His son, Ben, was my buddy from college, from Yeshiva, for years. I said, hold on. I called Ben up, tell him the story. He says, no problem. Calls his father's secretary, calls me back. He says, he's coming back this time, this date. You're in. Just call the secretary, tell him that I tell her I spoke to her about you. It's all taken care of. And just the relief that we had, that the one guy we need to see, we're able to get into him and present our case, and here he has to advise us. You know, it was such a load off our shoulders, such a relief, such a, it's hard to say simcha because it was a bittersweet, you know, partial victory, but just the acknowledgement, the recognition that we knew that the one person who could help us was able to speak to us was a tremendous relief. So Pinchas says, it's the same idea. Tefillah is this chesed habor yisparach, that b'chol kareinu v'shomea v'oneh, that whenever you need him, he's able to hear, able to respond. That's how you have to appreciate what tefillah is all about. Ramban goes further. Ramban then says, he concedes that tefillah is a mitzvah d'oraisa, but he says the mitzvah d'oraisa is not every day, as Rambam says, but rather, shenistal elav be'es hatzaros. It's a mitzvah to daven when we are facing distress, facing tzara. The tihiyena einenu v'libenu elav, we should look to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like an eved looks to a master who is his sole source of support. And the Ramban quotes a pasuk in Baloscha, when you battle against your enemies, v'harei osem b'chatzotzros v'nizkartem l'pnei Hashem alokeichem, says Ramban, what does that mean? When you battle your enemies, you should blow the trumpets and be remembered before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ramban says, it's a mitzvah al kol tzar v'tzar shetavu al tzibor. Whenever a tzar confronts Klal Yisrael, litzok l'fanav b'tfila u'bitruah, that you have to cry out with prayer and with trumpets. Meaning, Ramban says, the mitzvah d'oraisa is not every day to daven, but rather the mitzvah d'oraisa is when you face an eis tzara, when you confront a tzara, when the tzibur confronts a tzara, a challenging distress, a threat, a danger, that's when there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to daven, to call out to Kadosh Baruch Hu b'tfilah. And Ramban concludes, if you wonder what this tefillah mitzvah is all about, what is the underlying fundamental of tefillah? He says, "V'nomar shehi mitzvah l'eis hatzaros." It is a mitzvah in times of distress. Shena'amin, to believe. Shehu yisbarach v'yisala shomea tefillah, that Kadosh Baruch Hu hears our prayers. V'hu ha'matzil min hatzaros, and he is the one who saves us. B'tefillah uza'aka, with prayer and cry, through prayer and cries. So Ramban essentially tells us that tefillah is at its very essence a mitzvah of emunah. It's a mitzvah shena'amin, to believe that number one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears us, and number two, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one, the only one, who rescues us, who saves us. So it's not just a mitzvah to daven be'es tzara, but according to Ramban, it's much more than that. It's a mitzvah of emunah, to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens and that he is the only one who can help us, who will rescue us. And the truth is that the flip side of this, as spelled out by the Sefer HaChinuch, is pretty serious. Because Sefer HaChinuch writes, he says, if somebody faces an eis tzara and does not cry out to Kadosh Baruch Hu, in mitzvah Tav Lamed Gimel, Sefer HaChinuch writes, Misha tzar lo v'lo kara el Hashem lahoshio, bitel asei zeh kedas haramban. So when you face an eis tzara and you don't daven in response to that eis tzara, you've been mevatel and asei according to the Ramban. The onesh gadol ma'od, and the onesh that one is deserving in such a situation is very serious. Why? Because if you face an eis tzara and you don't cry out, shehu kemesir hashgachas Hashem me'olav, it's as if, God forbid, one is denying that Kadosh Baruch Hu is supervising him, is watching him, is protecting him. Because once you view tefillah be'eis tzara, as Ramban does, as an expression of one's emunah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shomea, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Matzil, then Chinuch says, the Sefer Chinuch tells us, if one does not daven be'eis tzara, one is worthy of an onesh gadol, because it's as if I'm denying that ultimate eternal truth, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashgiach, is looking out for me and looking over me. So there's a flip side to this as well. But ultimately, essentially, the mitzvah of tefillah, then according to the Chinuch and according to the Ramban, is one of expressing one's emunah b'Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the truth is, if one thinks of this basic underlying fundamental of tefillah, it has the ability to inspire confidence be'eis tzara. If one is cognizant of the fact that when I daven be'eis tzara, it's because I have emunah that Kadosh Baruch Hu is mashgiach aleinu, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the matzel min hatzara, that provides me with an unbelievable reservoir of strength and of confidence, even in the worst of times. Saw a beautiful story in Sefer Lirot V'Lirot, to shoot and to see, which is a collection of stories from Eretz Yisrael, from members of Tzahal, of the Shin Bet, who have seen or experienced stories of Hashgacha in their careers. It's collected by journalists in Eretz Yisrael, and he describes an experience told to him by Hillel Unsdorfer. Hillel Unsdorfer was one of the Chayalim taken captive by the Egyptian army in 1973, Yom Kippur War. He had been stationed with about 24 other soldiers along the Bar Lev line, which was a line of fortified outposts facing the Egyptian front in the south of Israel. And this particular outpost that he was stationed in, Hillel Unsdorfer, was comprised of numerous Dati soldiers and one Chiloni soldier named Chipupo, was the Israeli name that he had. This guy was from the Navy, from the Israeli Navy, who was stationed with these Dati soldiers in this outpost on the Bar Lev line. And the war broke out in 73 on Shabbos, Yom Kippur. These 25 soldiers held off the oncoming Egyptian army for 8 days until the following Shabbos. And this is despite 21 of them having been wounded in battle. And when their food supply finally ran out, and their ammunition supply ran out 8 days after the war started on Shabbos, a week later, they finally surrendered. They were taken captive by the Egyptians. And he describes in detail how the moment they were loaded onto the bus to cart them into captivity into Egypt, and they drove away from the eyes of the Red Cross and from the cameras. And incidentally, Hillel Unsdorfer was the one who was photographed at that time carrying a Sefer Torah with him into captivity. It was a photo that flashed around the world. He was a Stati soldier carrying a Sefer Torah with him into Egyptian captivity. The moment they crossed into Egypt, the bus stopped, and he describes how they were blindfolded and they were viciously hands bound behind their backs. They were thrown down the stairs of the bus onto the floor outside the bus in the street, where they were kicked and punched and beaten. And he describes how they were finally driven to a Egyptian military prison somewhere on the outskirts of Cairo, and describes the viciousness of the Egyptian captors, the beatings, how they were beaten with iron rods, wooden sticks, how they were, even for the slightest infraction, terribly tortured. And they were sitting, each of them, in a solitary cell, each to their own, the entire day. If they would so much as to speak a word to the fellow Israeli soldier in the cell next door, they would be beaten and bloodied again. And Hillel says he was sitting there one day in his cell, and he hears a tapping on the wall from the cell next door. Wasn't interested in responding, because he had just been beaten earlier that day. Finally he says, "Who is it?" in a whisper. And he hears it's Chipupo, it's this Chiloni soldier from the base, who was in captivity with him. This Chiloni soldier inquires of him, "What are you doing all day? You're in your cell by yourself for hours on end with nothing to do. What do you do?" So Hillel says to him, "I daven." He says, "You daven all day? You didn't daven that long, back at the base." So he says, "Well, now it's different. I have nothing to do. So I say each word, and I think about the meaning, and I think about it some more, and I say the next word, and I think about the meaning, and I think about it some more. And my three tefillos, Shacharis, Mincha, Maariv, take me hours and hours. Say each word and think about every word. Imagine how long it's going to take you." He says there was some silence. And then this Chiloni soldier says to him, "Teach me how to daven. I want you to teach me how to daven." He says, "I can't. They'll kill us." And this Chiloni soldier insisted, "No, I want you to teach me how to daven." So finally he said, "Okay, repeat after me." He starts reciting Shema Yisrael for him. And an instant, the Egyptian soldiers burst into the cell, start beating Hillel. iron rods, wooden sticks, beating him, bloodying, bloody pulp. After the beating, he's left on the floor just in terrible pain. He's furious at this Chiloni soldier next door to him for bringing this upon him. And he hears a tapping again. Same guy, tapping again. He says, "What do you want? Leave me alone." He says, "Hello, Hayakadai." "What do you mean, Hayakadai? I just got beaten. You hear what happened to me? My screams were echoing through the prison halls." He said, "Gamani, I also got beaten. Hayakadai." And Hillel described afterwards how he was like so struck. He was a Chiloni soldier, beaten, bloodied to a pulp. He's saying, "Hayakadai." And they made up that from that point on, at every meal when they were served their food, Hillel would say the bracha out loud, and this Chiloni soldier would either repeat the bracha after him or just say amen. And after each meal, they'd be beaten again for the same reason. And after each beating, this Hillel would hear a knocking on his door, on his wall, from the soldier next door saying, "Hillel, Hayakadai, Hayakadai." And he was so moved how this irreligious soldier connected so deeply to the Koach HaTzvila, how this Koach HaTzvila gave him strength, gave him amunah, gave him confidence, gave him the ability to persevere and to go on despite the terrible Yisurim. Beautiful demonstration and a very, very telling story as to what the Koach HaTzvila is all about when one recognizes, as Ramban says, that it's all about amunah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shemeya Va'ona and Hu HaMatzil Min Hatzaros. Even someone who is not connected to Frumkai can appreciate that. When push comes to shove, he can connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu through Tefillah. I saw a nice pshat, perhaps not grammatically correct, but the idea behind it is very true. Finkus quotes it, but it's also, and perhaps originally found in the Shem Yishmul of the Sachat Shavar Rebbe. The Shem Yishmul writes, he says, what's pshat in Tefillah? He says, Tefillah ultimately, he quotes the pasuk in Parashas Vayetze, Vatomea Rachel Naftule Elokim Niftalti Imachosi Gam Yocholti. Rachel, when Naftali was born, says, Naftule Elokim Niftalti Imachosi. What does that mean? Naftule Elokim Niftalti Imachosi. So Rashi says, quoting Menachem Ben Sarok, Rashi's first shot quotes Menachem Ben Sarok, Menachem says, what does Naftule mean? Miloshon Somid Pasil. It means chibur, it means an attachment, a connection. I've been connected to my sister, says Rachel. From HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I've been connected to my sister to also be zocha to children like she was. So Shem Yishmul says, Naftule is Lashon Chiburim, Lashon Chibur, Samid Pasil. What's Tefillah all about? Tefillah also says that Shem Yishmul is a Lashon of Chibur, of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Through Tefillah, one connects with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, connects with the Divine. And even Be'ez Tzar, when you're so afraid and so vulnerable and so hopeless and helpless, but you connect through Tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have that connection that brings you through. Again, grammatically, one might take issue with this connection, Tefillah, Naftule, but the idea certainly is very, very apropos. Tefillah is a way to be mechaber oneself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this, I think, also is very much in line with the famous Vort of Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim, dealing with two apparently contradictory Rambams in Hilchos Tefillah. The Rambam says in Hilchos Tefillah, Perek Yud, source number 6 over here, the Rambam says, Misha hispala v'lo kiven es libo, yachzor v'yispala b'kavana, v'im kiven es libo v'bracha rishona, shuven otzarech. Rambam Perek Yud tells us that if somebody davens without kavana salev, should daven again. But if you had kavana for the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, that's it. No need to daven again. You had kavana for the first bracha, that's sufficient. So Chaim asks, what do you mean? Rambam earlier in Hilchos Tefillah Perek Dalet tells us that one of the five devarim, one of the five critical components of Tefillah is kavana salev, is kavana of the heart. And what is kavana salev? It's in source number 8, source number 9. Rambam tells us in Perek Dalet, Kavana Salev Ketzad, this is in Perek Dalet, Halacha Tezvav and Halacha Tezayim. Kavana Salev Ketzad, what does Kavana Salev mean? So the Rambam says, Kol Tefillah She'ena B'Kavana Ena Tefillah. Any Tefillah not daven B'Kavana is not a Tefillah. V'mispal B'lo Kavana Chozer Mispal B'Kavana. If you daven without Kavana, you got to daven again. Then the Rambam explains, what does this mean? Ketzad Kavana, what is Kavana? Source number 9, Perek Dalet, Halacha Tezayim. What is Kavana, says the Rambam? You should clear your heart from all thoughts. You should see yourself as if you're standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Chaim says, what's going on here? And Perek Yud, the Rambam says, that if you daven without kavana, as long as that kavana in the first bracha Shemon Esrei, no need to daven again. That's sufficient. In Perek Dal, Rambam says that kavana slave is ma'akev es ha-tfilo. If you daven without kavana, it's ein ha-tfilo, and you got to daven again. And he doesn't make this distinction of first bracha is sufficient, implying that throughout Shemon Esrei, if you don't have kavana, you have to daven over again. Even if you had kavana in the first bracha, it's not sufficient. You have to have kavana throughout the entire Shemon Esrei, apparently, according to the second Rambam we just saw in Perek Dalet. So Chaim explains, famous word of Chaim as follows. The Rambam is discussing two different types of kavana. In Perek Yud, when he speaks of the need to have kavana, and b'di'eved, if you have kavana only in the first bracha, that's sufficient. There, Chaim says the Rambam is referring to the Perush HaDvarim. What do the words mean? If you have to think about what the words mean when you say them in Shemon Esrei. But b'di'eved, if you only thought of the Perush HaDvarim in the first bracha of Shemon Esrei, that's sufficient. As long as you have kavana for the meaning of the words in the first bracha of Shemon Esrei, no need to daven again. That's the Rambam in Perek Yud. But the Rambam in Perek Dalet, who does not make any such allowance, that b'di'eved, as long as you have kavana in the first bracha, it's sufficient. The Rambam in Perek Dalet says, who implies that kavana is required throughout Shemon Esrei, and kol tefillah she'ena b'kavana, ena tefillah, that your tefillah without kavana is worthless. And he does not say, well, as long as you had it in the first bracha, it's sufficient. He implies you have to add that kavana throughout tefillah. There, says Reb Chaim, the Rambam is speaking about, as he says in source number 9, Perek Dal, Halacha Tazayin, he's not speaking about kavana of Perush HaDvarim, but he's speaking about the kavana of Yira Atzmo Ke'ilu Hu Omid Lufnei Hashchina. He's speaking about the need and the necessity to view oneself, to recognize the fact that when you're davening, you're standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning, says Reb Chaim, whereas Perush HaDvarim, thinking about the meaning of the words, yes, you have to have that kavana throughout tefillah, but b'di'eved, as long as for the first bracha alone you thought of the meaning of the words, you do not need to daven again. But the kavana that you're standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, standing with Ne'ashchina, that's as Reb Chaim is ma'akev throughout tefillah, that you have to have throughout davening. You must have that kavana throughout the entire Shemon Esrei. Why? Because that apparently, says Reb Chaim, is something that is critical to tefillah itself. Without that kavana of Omer Lefnei Hashchina, without viewing oneself as standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's not a ma'aseh tefillah altogether, he says. That is one of the critical components to make this a ma'aseh tefillah. It's not that I've davened, I just didn't have kavana. No, if you don't see yourself as davening Lefnei Hashchina, if you don't see yourself as talking Lefnei Hashchina, then you haven't davened b'chal, you haven't davened at all. And therefore, for that kavana of Omer Lefnei Hashchina, that kavana, says Reb Chaim, must be throughout the entire Shemon Esrei. So, I'm sorry? It's like what? Misasikabot, right. It's not a ma'aseh tefillah. It's like you're just, right, muttering without any significance what you're doing altogether. Right, he says, Lashon is asik otherwise, right. So, right, it's not a ma'aseh misasik, right. It's not a ma'aseh tefillah, it's just misasik. It's just not a significant ma'aseh altogether. So, very simply, I thought that, you know, again, along the lines that we've been saying until now, that the whole hashkafa of tefillah is the emunah, as Ramban says, that one should see himself as, one should recognize, says Ramban, that Kadosh Baruch Hu's mashgiach alai is looking over me, is protecting me, that he is the one who is shomea, who is matzal menatzaros. So if as Reb Chaim says, you don't have that kavanah of omer lefnei hashchina, you're lacking in that basic fundamental tefillah, as Ramban described it, of recognizing that Kadosh Baruch Hu is shomea tefillah, recognizing that God's listening, recognizing that God is mashgiach alai, as the Sefer HaChinuch put it. So Reb Chaim's idea in the Rambam that if I don't have that kavanah of omer lefnei hashchina, I haven't performed the ma'aseh tefillah, can be very well understood in light of that Ramban and the Sefer HaChinuch. So before that, the whole hashkafa of tefillah is one of emuna, of recognizing that Kadosh Baruch Hu is mashgiach alai, Kadosh Baruch Hu is watching me, Kadosh Baruch Hu is shemea, Kadosh Baruch Hu is listening to me. If I'm not thinking that I'm omer lefnei hashchina, I'm obviously not cognizant of the fact that God is listening, because I don't think that I'm talking to him. So this idea fits very well with the whole hashkafa of tefillah that we saw before in the Ramban and the Sefer HaChinuch. Okay, moving on to a thought that my grandfather, Baron Soloveitchik Zatzal, suggested in the Machlokas Rambam Ramban, similar to a thought that his brother, the Rav Zatzal, had, although slightly different, but the same basic idea. My grandfather said the following. We said that this Machlokas Rambam Ramban, as to whether tefillah is a mitzvah to say de'oraisa each and every day, as the Rambam says, or whether tefillah is only a mitzvah de'oraisa when one is be'es tzara, as the Ramban said. So my grandfather Zatzal suggested that the truth is that the Rambam and Ramban are not that far apart from one another. It could very well be, he said, that the Rambam also agrees to the Ramban, that the motivating, that the motivator of tefillah is tsara, is distress, is a threat, is a danger. It's not just Ramban who views the motivator of tefillah as tsara, but the Rambam also, my grandfather suggested, views tsara as the motivator of tefillah. The difference, though, he said, is the following. The Ramban says that one is only chayav min hatorah to daven when one recognizes, when one sees that he is be'es tzara. Then he has a chayav deraisa to daven. My grandfather, however, explained that the Rambam says that one has a chayav to daven be'es tzara each and every day, even if he doesn't recognize that he's be'es tzara. Why not? Because everyone, at all times, is vulnerable to tzara. The mere fact that I am a person means that I am vulnerable to tzara. I don't know what the next day, what the next hour, what the next minute has in store for me. I am always vulnerable. That's what life is all about. So even if I don't appreciate or recognize that I am confronting an eis tzara, I am a be'eis tzara. The mere fact that I am a person means that I am potentially be'eis tzara at any given moment. And according to the Rambam, even without an appreciation that I am be'eis tzara, to be mechayev mi tefillah d'oraisa as Ramban viewed it, the Rambam says that the mere fact that I am, whether I know it or not, I am always potentially be'es tzara, that is mechayev me to daven min ha-Torah every day. That's how my grandfather understood the Shitas HaRambam.
I don't say anything. Yeah? Somebody who thinks he isn't be'es tzara,
right,
is fooling himself.
He's fooling himself, right. Oh, so it's the same idea. You're always be'es tzara, whether you know it or not, whether you appreciate it or not, you are, that's the fact, and that's the mechayev of tefillah, according to the Rambam, each and every day. So the distinction between Rambam and Ramban is that according to Ramban, my recognition that I am be'es tzara is mechayev min tefillah d'oraisa, whereas according to the Rambam, the mechayev of my tefillah is the fact that I am be'es tzara, even if I don't appreciate it. I'll share with you one story that I think illustrates this point precisely. A fellow that I've known for decades in my parents' shul up in Toronto. Just this past summer, he was walking in his house and he stumbled and tripped. I think it was in his dining room. Fell to the floor and he hurt himself. Some aches, some pains, his back and his neck. So he goes to Branson Hospital in Toronto to get himself checked out. And they look him over, they tell him, it's just a couple of bruises and you know, sore bones, you'll be okay. Weeks go by and he's still feeling sore and achy. 1 week, 2 weeks. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, a month and a half. Weeks go by, he's still feeling sore and achy, and this makes no sense. You know, little bruises don't last for a month and a half. So he decides to go to Northrop General, bigger hospital, better hospital, get himself checked out again. And this time they subject him to all sorts of tests, scans, and doctor walks in and says to him, "Mr. So-and-so, look at this scan of your neck. You see those smudges on the scan in the bones of your neck? You have cancer. It has spread to your bones. We have to start chemotherapy right away." So here's this guy who is walking around, you know, relatively healthy. He falls. As a result of the fall, he goes into the hospital 6 weeks later. Gets told all of a sudden you have cancer. You didn't know about it. It's probably too late now because it's spread to your bones already. We got to do chemo to do whatever we can to slow it down. So let me just, you know, get a second opinion, please. Takes the scan to another doctor, another radiologist, who looks at it and says, no, you're not going to die. You should have been dead a long time ago. These smudges are not cancer. These smudges are a broken neck. Not just any broken neck, but this is what we call a hangman's break. You fell and you snapped bones in your neck in a way that you should have been dead instantly, and I have no idea why you're still walking around. And so my brother saw this fellow in shul the next morning, and he called me and says, he's got his head in a brace, his neck is in a brace, he's completely immobilized, he's on the way to recovery. Here's a guy walking around his home, falls, thinks he just has a sore back, a sore neck. 6 weeks later, he's told, you're going to die because you have cancer. 5 minutes after that, he's told, you should have been dead 6 weeks ago because you snapped your neck, and I don't know why you're still walking around alive. Just the vulnerability of a person from one moment to the next, mechayim, lamaves, lachayim again, is unbelievable, but so very real. And that's precisely this vort of the Rambam, be'es tzara. Whether you appreciate it or not, you are be'es tzara at any given moment. A person is vulnerable. A person's in potential danger. And that is mechayev tefillah, according to the Rambam. My grandfather then had a very beautiful explanation of what the essence of the chiyuv of tefillah is all about. Finally, we've seen now that the mechayev of tefillah is essentially tied to tzara, whether it be my appreciation that I am be'es tzara, whether it be the fact that I am potentially always be'es tzara. But there is more to the chiyuv of tefillah as well, in terms of how Chazal understood the chiyuv of tefillah. If we look at the Rambam, source number 10, Parak Aleph, Halacha Beis, Nachas Tefillah, the Rambam, after introducing in Halacha Aleph that tefillah is a mitzvah to say to Araisa with no set time and no set number of times to pray, the Rambam says in Halacha Beis, Lefichach, therefore, Noshim va'avodim chayovim betfilah. That's why women are chayiv in davening, because it's a mitzvah saseh shelo hazman grama. It's a mitzvah saseh shelo hazman grama. So, the Rambam says, women are chayiv, it's not an saseh hazman grama, and therefore they're chayiv to daven. Gemara in Brachas Daf Chaf Mevei, source number 11, seems to say just that. The Gemara says that ma'u the same, you might have thought, since the Pasuk says, with regard to tefillah in Tehillim, Erev, Vavoker, Vetzaharayim, that 3 times a day I daven, says David HaMelech, I call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, evening, morning, and afternoon, Asicha, Vehemeh, Vayish Makoli, I call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, 3 times a day, says David HaMelech. So you might think, says the Gemara, K'mitzvah Saseh Shazman Grama Dami, it's like a mitzvah Saseh Shazman Grama, because 3 set times during the day we're supposed to daven, night, morning, and afternoon, so it is a mitzvah Saseh Shazman Grama, so women should be potter. Kamash one, the Gemara says no. Chiddush of the Mishnah and Brachos, which says that women are chayiv in tefillah, is that, as the Rambam understands it, it's not a mitzvah to say shazman grama, and therefore they're chayiv. So the difficulty is the following. The Rambam understands the Gemara to be telling us that tefillah is not a mitzvah to say shazman grama, and therefore women are chayiv in tefillah across the board. Now the Rambam at no point says, well, on a d'oraisa level, it's lo hazman grama and they're chayiv. On a drabbanon level, that we have to daven specific times during the day, it is a say shazman grama and they're pater. He doesn't distinguish. Right? You would have thought he could have said that on a d'oraisa level, you're supposed to daven any time during the day, so it's lo hazman grama, so women are chayiv. Mid'oraisa to daven. On a drabbanon level, that you're supposed to daven set times during the day, ma'ariv, shacharis, mincha, so therefore, it is the Nasei Shazman Grama, and therefore they're putter from that Chi of Jabbanon. But he doesn't say that. The Rambam's flat out statement that Nasei Shazman Grama implies that even on Jabbanon level, despite the Chi of Davin at certain times during the day, it's still a mitzvah Nasei Shazman Grama. And the question is, why is that? So my grandfather suggested that the pshat apparently is that Rambam understands tefillah, much like we were saying before in the Ramban, that tefillah is at its very essence an avodas halev. It's a mitzvah that one does through thought, through feeling. Much like avas Hashem, yiras Hashem, is an emotion, is a feeling, is a recognition, is a realization. It's not an action that one does or a statement that one verbalizes. So too my grandfather suggested tefillah, at its most basic level, min ha-Torah, is a kiyum shebelev, is a feeling that one has. What's the feeling? What we've been saying until now, that recognition that I am completely dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's that emunah recognition, that everything I have comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm completely dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the kiyum ha-tefillah midoraisa. It's not something that I say or do, it's a recognition that I have. It's a truth that I live with, that I recognize at all times. I have to daven and I got to say something. That, says my grandfather, is simply, according to the Rambam, an external expression that indicates that I'm feeling inside what I'm supposed to be feeling. The Maisa Tfila that I verbalize, the Tfilas that I say, That is not the Ikar Chiyuv. The Ikar Chiyuv is the realization that I have internally, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is my sole source of support, and I am totally, wholly dependent on Him and Him alone. That's what Kiyum HaTefillah is all about. The Maisa HaTefillah is simply a means to demonstrate that internal realization externally. It's an external manifestation of the Ikar Kiyum, which is Belev. That's how we viewed it. So when Chazal came along and said you got to daven 3 times a day, it's not that there is a new Mechayev of Tefillah of night, morning, and afternoon. It's not a separate chiyuv 3 times a day. It's all that same chiyuv d'oraisa of constantly being aware that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is my sole source of support, that I'm totally, wholly dependent on Him and Him alone. It's just the Chazal said, to fully and to truly fulfill that mitzvah d'oraisa of having that realization throughout the day, beretzifus, betzmidus, I should express it externally, manifest it externally, more than just once, but 3 times a day. But Be'etzem, the Chiv, is the same Chiv that is ongoing, never-ending, and consecutive. The Chiv of Tefillah, even the Chiv to daven 3 times a day, are not 3 separate Chiv from Tefillah, night, morning, and afternoon. It's all one long, unending, continuous Tefillah of internally recognizing and appreciating that Kadosh Baruch Hu is my sole source of support. But to fully realize that Kiyum HaTefillah of internalizing and internally recognizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is my source of support, Chazal said, express it 3 times during the day. But ultimately, the Rambam says, it's still a mitzvah to say Shlo Zman Grama, because it's not a new chiyuv, it's not a new kiyum. It's all that same chiyuv, that same kiyum, belave throughout the day of feeling that I am totally and wholly dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why the Rambam says that even on the Darabanan level, it's a mitzvah to say Shlo Zman Grama, and women are chayev, because even the chiyuvim to daven, night, morning, and afternoon, are simply all extensions of that ongoing, consecutive chiyuv to feel inside, internally, that I am dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm sorry?
Chuzari describes the chassi.
Yeah.
He says that daven is in the morning, but when you rest until the next tefillah comes along, he's always thinking about the next opportunity.
Always looking for the next possible opportunity to express that dependence on Kadosh Baruch Hu. Very nice. Shkoyach. Okay. Just to move it along, my grandfather then asked, if you look in the Rambam, Perush Mishnayos and Kedushin, end of Perek Aleph, source number 12, the Rambam there in Perush Mishnayos says that although in general women are exempt from mitzvah seseh shasman grama, however the Rambam says there are certain exceptions to the rule. Achilas matzah, Simcha on Yom Tov, Hakel, Tefillah, Mikra Megillah, Ner Chanukah, Hadlakas Neres Shabbos, Kiddush Hayom, all of these, says the Rambam, are mitzvah seseh shasman grama, and nevertheless, exception to the rule, women are chayev. Which means that l'chor you have a steer now. The Rambam in Mishneh Torah said very clearly that Tefillah is a mitzvah seseh shelo hazman grama, and that's why women are chayev. And he understood the Gemara Brachas to be saying that the chiddush of the Mishnah in Brachos is that it's asei shelo hazman grama, and that's why women are chayav. Yet the Rambam in Perush Mishnayos here in Kedushin is saying that the reason women are chayav in tefillah is not because it's asei shelo hazman grama. Really, tefillah is the mitzvah asei shazman grama. It's just an exception to the rule, and that's why women are chayav. It's asei shazman grama, but it's an exception to the rule. So the question is, well, which one is it? Is it Tefillah a mitzvah to say shehazman grama, like the Rambam in Perush Mishnayos and Kedushin seems to say? Or is it a mitzvah to say shelo hazman grama, as the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah, Mishnah Torah, seems to say? So my grandfather made the following observation. Beautiful thought. He said there are 2 kiyumim in Tefillah. And this, he said, you see very clearly from the Gemara and Tosis and Brachas Daf Chav Vav. We know there's a din of tashlumim. If I don't daven a particular Shemona Esrei, I make it by mistake, I forget to daven shacharis, I can make it up by davening what? 2 minchas. So the Gemara in Brachas Daf Chavav asks, what happens if you don't daven mincha by mistake? You forget to daven mincha. Can you daven 2 ma'aribs? Or why not? So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you why. Maybe if you forget ma'arib, you can daven shacharis, or if you forget shacharis, you can daven mincha twice. Only because there, it's all on the same day. It's chad yoma. However, says the Gemara, if I forget mincha, and now I want to daven 2 ma'aribs, maybe I shouldn't be able to do that. Why not? Because tefillah, says the Gemara, is b'makom karbon, is in place of the karbon tamid we used to bring in the mikdash. And kevan to avar yomo, batal karbono. Once that particular day the karbon was supposed to be brought on goes on, passes by, it's too late. You can't make up for the yesterday's karbon. So maybe also tefillah as well. Once I miss mincha on a particular day, I can't make up for it the next day with the two ma'arifs. Or dilma, or perhaps, says Tosfos, kevan detzloso rachamehi, since tefillah is rachameh, you have to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what you need. Whenever you need to ask God, you can ask God for what you want. So you see from the Gemara is working with two different understandings of tefillah. On the one hand, a tefillah is viewed as b'makom karbon, a replacement for the karbanos. So then you should say, well, if you missed a mincha, you can't daven two ma'arevs because it's a different day, and you can't make up for yesterday's karbon. On the other hand, the Gemara says, if you view tefillah as tzlosa, as rachameh, as asking God for what you need, whenever you need something, you got to ask God for it. So even if it's the next day, you should be able to make up for it by asking God again for what you need. And it's even clearly, more clearly seen in Tosis. Tosis says that the Gemara does not ask what happens if I forget to daven musaf. Can I daven musaf the next day? Why? Tosis says because the Gemara knows for sure that if you forget musaf, you can't make up for musaf by davening two ma'arivs the next night. Why not? Because how could you read the psukim that describe the bringing of the karbanos this particular day, which is what musaf is all about, if that day is already gone, right? On day five of Sukkot. So you read the psukim that describe the karbanos of day five. Well, if you forgot musaf that day and you want to daven two ma'arivs, you can't do that because you can't daven musaf the following night because you can't make up karbanos for the previous day already. And Tosa says, the seven brachas of Tfilas Musaf are only because of Unashama Param Svaseinu, are only for a replacement for karbanos. Once the day goes, it's too late. But other tfilos, says Tosfos, derachamininhu, other tfilos that are also supplications, asking God for what you need, that's where the Gemara asks, maybe you should still be allowed to make up for it even on the next night. So what do you see from Tosfos? From Tosfos, you see, said my grandfather, that Musaf is unique in that Musaf is only and exclusively a replacement for karbanos. Neshama Parm Svaseinu. So if you miss it on that particular day, you can't make it up, it's too late. Masha Enkein, Tosfos says, the Gemara is asking with regard to other tefillos, such as mincha. Maybe mincha I could make up the next night. Why? Because mincha, in addition to being b'makom karbon, in addition to being on neshama parm svaseinu, mincha is also rachameh. Mincha is also supplications, asking God for what you need. So whenever you got to ask God for what you need, you can ask God for what you need. So maybe you should be able to ask God by making up for that tefillah the following night. So you see from Tosfos, my grandfather says the following. Musaf is only there as a replacement for karbanos. Neshama parm svaseinu, tefillah b'makom karbon. But other tefillos, Tosis explains the Gemara is telling us, are not just the b'makom karbon. Other tefillos are also there as rachameh, as supplication, as begging God for what you need. So with this yisod, my grandfather said, what we see from Tosis is that every tefillah, with the exception of musaf, has two kiyumim in it. Every tefillah is a kiyum of the b'makom karbon. It's a kiyum in place of the karbanos that used to be brought. And every tefillah, with the exception of musaf, that is rachameh, is begging God for your needs, for what you need. With that in mind, my grandfather said you can understand pshat in the stira in the Rambam. And the Rambam says in Mishnah Torah, mitzvah sasei, shelo hazman grama. He means tefillah as far as the kiyum of rachameh is concerned. Davening to express your needs and to ask God for what you need, that's never ending. That's an ongoing, continuous chiyuv. It's a mitzvah sasei, shelo hazman grama, because a person is always potentially vulnerable and potentially be'es tzara. But the Rambam in Perish Mishnayos in Kedushin, who says that tefillah is an asei shehazman grama, it's limited in time, that's tefillah with regard to the kiyum of tefillah as unashama parm svaseinu. Tefillah with regard to the kiyum of b'makom karbon. Karbanos were only brought within certain time. So too, the kiyum of tefillah as a replacement for karbanos is also an aseishas magrama. That kiyum is limited. And very quickly, just to see this word beautifully in the Rambam, two different Rambams, and we'll finish up. The Rambam in Hilchas Tefillah, Perek Gimel Halacha Aleph, source number 15, tells us that Tefillah Sashachar, the mitzvah is to daven at sunrise. Uzmana at Sof Sharavias, the zman of the mitzvah is until the end of the fourth hour, a third of the day. Im avar otav espal achar arba achatzel sayom. If by mistake you daven shacharis after the fourth hour, before midday, yotza yidei chovas tefila, you yotze the chiv of tefila, aval lo yotza yidei chovas tefila bezmano. But you're not yotze the chiv of tefila bezman. So what does that mean? I daven after the fourth hour, before chatzos. Rambam says you yotze yidei chovas tefila, but you're not yotze yidei chovas tefila bezmano. So you see very clearly to my grandfather that there's two kiyuvim in tefillah. There's the chovas tefillah bizmana, which is only up until fourth hour ends. Then there's the chovas hatefillah, which I can daven shachris up until the end of the morning, until chatzos.
What about after?
Oh, hold on. So the chovas tefillah bizmana, my grandfather said, parallels the kiyum of tefillah as the makam karbon. Unashama parm svasenu. Karbanos were given a certain time limit on them. So the chovas tefillah bizmana is the kiyum of tefillah b'makom karban. The kiyum of tefillah, chovas tefillah in general, tol chatzos, is tefillah midin rachame. Rachame, we know, is an ongoing chiv to realize that one is dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Midrabanan, you have to express that externally three times a day, morning, afternoon, and evening. So all morning long, until chatzos, I have that ability to mekayim the chovas hatfilah bezmana, the tefillah midin rachameh, up until chatzos. After chatzos, it's already now begeder mincha. It's begeder the afternoon expression of rachameh. But as far as Chazal wanted the shacharis kiyum of tefillah midin rachameh to be, I have until chatzos to be mekayim that kiyum of tefillah midin rachameh. And the last example of this duality in tefillah in the Rambam is source number 16, Paragimel halacha beis and gimel, with regard to mincha. The Rambam says tefillas mincha corresponds to the tamid shel ben harbayim, the afternoon korban tamid, and because every day the korban tamid was brought at 9.5 hours into the day, so tiknu zmana chazal or mesakin the zman of mincha is at 9.5 hours. That's what we refer to as mincha katana. But says the Rambam, because on erev Pesach, which comes out on a Friday, which happens one day a year. One day a year. They would then bring the carbon tomet at 6.5 hours earlier in the afternoon. So because of that possibility, Chazal said, well, if that one day a year the carbon tomet is sometimes brought that early, so if you daven that early mincha as well, yotzer yoyotzei. And when that zman arrives, the zman chiyuv arrives, and that's mincha gedola. So first he says the zman of mincha, tiknu zmana, is mincha ketana, 9.5 hours. Then he says if you daven from 6.5 hours, you're yotze. Mashma b'diyeved, you're yotze. And when that time arrives, he says, that's when the zman chiyuv arrives. And that's mincha gedola. Well, what's going on here? First you tell me tiknu zmana, 9.5 hours. Then you tell me b'diyeved, you yotze at 6.5 hours. And then you say, when 6.5 hours arrives, that's when the zman chiyuv arrives. Well, which one is it? And then even more confusing, Rambam says in Halachic Gimel, many people daven both, mincha gedola and mincha ketana. One is as obligatory tefillah, and one is done as a optional tefillah, as a rishus. So, and the Gaonim say you should daven the mincha gedola as rishus, and the mincha ketana as obligatory. So what's happening here? When's this manchiyav l'chatchila b'diyav? What's going on? My grandfather said as follows. He said, again, it's two kiyum min tefillah. With regard to the kiyum of tefillah midin rachameh, asking Kadosh Baruch Hu for what you need, so as soon as the afternoon begins, 6.5 hours into the day, there's already a kiyum of tefillah midin rachameh. And mitzad zrizin makdimin, ideally you should daven then as well, 6.5 hours. However, with regard to the kiyum of tefillah as unashama parm sasenu, in place of karban, since generally the carbon was only brought at 9.5 hours into the day, so that chiv only sets in at 9.5 hours at mincha ketana. But the kiyum rachameh, which begins at 6.5 hours, and Zrizin Makdimin seems to tell me I should start then. Well, if I start then, I'm not going to be mekayim the din of tefillah midin neshama parm svasenu at its ideal time, which is at 9.5 hours. That's what the Rambam says. Some people daven twice. They daven mincha gedola midin rachameh, to express their supplications to Kadosh Baruch Hu at 6.5 hours. The reason Magdimin, a kiyum of tefillah begins right then and there, midin rachameh, afternoon begins, you can daven already, midin rachameh, tefillas mincha, and they daven that as a rishus. They daven as a reshus, because then at 9.5 hours they can still do the kind of the chiv of tefillah midin when a shalom parmas faseinu midin makom karban at its ideal time of 9.5 hours. But the Eved, the Rambam tells us, if you daven tefillah only once at 6.5 hours, you're yotze both kiyum and b'di'evet, because there was one day a year when they would bring the karban tamid that early at 6.5 hours. But since ordinarily the karban tamid was not brought that early, so the chafkila one should not daven just at mincha gedola, because to get the kiyum of tefillah midin b'makom karban, the kiyum of tefillah of Rosham Parmas Vaseinu, ideally you want to have that at 9.5 hours when the karban was brought every day. So that's what Rambam says, the way to get around it is daven two tefillos, daven a reshus at mincha gedola, which is already a kiyum tefillah midin rachame, but you still save your obligatory tefillah, your chovas tefillah, for 9.5 hours for the kiyum of neshama parmas faseinu of davening b'makom karban at the time when the karban tamid was generally brought every day in the Beis Hamikdash. That's at 9.5 hours. Okay, I think we'll leave it there. Yishar koach to everybody for coming. Baruch Rabba on any finals you have remaining.